It is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, and I am happy to have you with us today with your questions. If you have financial questions for today's guest, you can call this number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that is 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. And for the next hour, you can text or call us at 651-461-9226. Here is Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb. Peg, hello. Nice to have you on. No Bruce today, huh?
No Bruce. Hello, Susie. It'll be you and I today. And so he's taking a well-deserved day off. But this is actually a fun topic. It is train your brain to make better money decisions. And we've got a kind of a large content here that I wanted to share, just of the history of doing the job that I do. And I was kind of wishing that I had a psychology degree in a way instead of just finance, because the brain kind of tells us what it wants us to do. So I'm going to just start out with a couple statistics here. Nearly 3 of 4, that's about 74% of U.S. adults, have a financial regret. And what do I mean by that? Well, people come in and they'll say to us, we have not saved enough for retirement. We took out way too much on credit cards. We don't have that emergency fund, you know, that is touted that we should have. So most people listening out there today probably have something that they regret. But today I'm going to offer some tips for counteracting those natural tendencies with money, because a lot of things that we see, it's the opposite of what you should be doing with your money, and that's where financial advisors come in. But why is it so difficult to overcome financial trouble? Well, it's actually not our fault. It's not our fault, because evolutionary, our brains are not wired to make the best money decisions. Many of you have probably heard us on this show talk about quick fight or flee decision making. If I'm on the street and I see cars zooming by, you know, I have to make a decision. Do I try to run through, you know, you see this little gap, or do I just stand here and wait and wait? But our brains were developed over millions of years ago by ancient ancestors. So we can actually blame them for some of the reactions that we have today. Now, there's often life or death decisions that our brains have to deal with, and it actually has been trained to make some efficient shortcuts to help us survive immediately in highly stressful threats. So those shortcuts can lead to actually making bad financial decisions. Have you ever heard, let me sleep on it?
Yeah.
You know, that actually is not a bad thing, Susie, because it slows your brain down for at least that 8 hours that you're sleeping. And then one other thing is, if you're listening today, have you ever experienced strong emotions where people say, okay, I'm fearful, I'm angry, I'm too excited? That's just actually a sign that the, you know, quality of your decision making is at risk. And I want to repeat that, because if you're fearful, you're angry, you're excited about something, probably not the best time to make a decision, and you're probably not going to make the best decision given the exposure to being, I would say, heightened. And so the problem is we often don't recognize that ourselves. So we have to rely on someone. Clients rely on us when they get in that state of mind. They'll pick up the phone. And then our brains are also hardwired to often value immediate rewards over delayed rewards. So when we think about the stock market, there's some decisions in actually the bond market too, what interest rates are doing. There's still some real well-known biases when it comes to making decisions about money. And one is anchoring. So our tendency to rely too heavily on the first piece of information that we get, and maybe you call that a stock tip. And we want to make a decision just like that. And maybe it's the stock is way overvalued, and we could talk about that today, where there's some stocks in the S&P 500 that have run up so dramatically, but I can't tell you whether they're overvalued today or not. But instead of getting more information, people will just jump on that. And maybe it's your next door neighbor that gave you the tip. And there's the second one is overconfidence. So a tendency to overestimate our personal capabilities and then downplay the risks that are involved in a decision. So a lot of times when you make a bad decision, you don't actually really want to, as a person, own that decision. And that can make it hard, because one of the things that we find is people will take out like more debt than they should. They'll buy high risk investments. And sometimes, Susie, they try to hide it from us. Like they don't want to show that they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, this confirmation, this tendency to seek out only the information that supports our own biases and ignores that there's contradictory facts out there. But nope, we're not going to even look for those, right? And I would say, you know, when I talk to clients and just my friends, they have a specific news program that they listen to. Right. And there's no crossing the line. You know, it's that kind of belief that is so strong. Susie, do you have any stories about, you know, friends of yours or coworkers that you would say they have some kind of a bias about money?
Oh, I would say so. Yeah. I was just imagining all the regrets, and I think I have too many around money. And it's stuff that you think to yourself, if I could just get that one back. You know, and they're silly. One time I spent way too much money redoing my backyard. I invested, you know, and now granted, there's probably some value to my home, but it put me back. It was debt. You know, I went into debt $8,000 on this project on a credit card. Those are the things that come back. And I think, oh, if I could have just got, I'd be so wealthy if I didn't have kids. No, because you want to give them things, and then you sometimes deplete. You put yourself in debt by wanting to be generous and loving and kind to everyone.
Yeah, and it's interesting in working with clients and just the psychology of people. You know, it's money isn't everything, right? You mentioned kids and family, and that is such an important thing with our clients. Now, emotions, you know, run such an important role in the job we do. And you don't even have to think about the job we do. Just think of your daily life. Some of these things trigger, like fear of missing out. If you hear somebody that's, let's say they bought a stock and they've made 100% in a short period of time, you know, it's almost like you're jealous of that. Like you're, and then you have this impulsive spending and saying, well, I want to do that. And maybe you go buy that same stock at the high. Then there's another one, which is greed. So we all want to you know, win the lottery, or we want to, you know, we want that bigger, better thing. And so then sometimes that can lead to riskier decisions. And then maybe you have to go into debt to go try to buy this thing that you want to buy. And I remember the day, Susie, when it was 2008, 2009, and at that time, there was before the crash, there was a lot of building of like tall condos in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And I had a client that called me and said, Peg, I'm waiting in line. I go, what line are you waiting in? And she said, well, you can put $50,000 to hold one of these condos.
Oh,
and
no.
Mind you, it wasn't even built yet. The sign was just up. But they would take $50,000 so that you could be in a lottery to even get one of these condos. Well, I said, well, then what are you going to do? You don't even want this condo. And she said, no, I'm just doing it so that I can make money. Everybody's making money on these things. And I go, Susie, I'm calling her Susie.
Okay.
Get out of that line right now. That's what I said to her. And she said, why? I go, this does not sound like you at all. And this is where the greed factor came in. Well, she got out of that line, and guess what? No one, and I mean no one, got their deposit back. The whole thing defunct. So that's an example of, you know, number one, fear of missing out. And then greed, just taking riskier investments because you think you're just going to be lucky. Then the last one is envy. We see this one too, trying to keep up with the Joneses. You can't afford these things. You went into a neighborhood, you bought a house, and maybe those other people have a better, you know, cash flow with their jobs, but you're trying to keep up with them and you really can't afford those things. And then you go into debt. So these are all emotions that play just an important role in making good financial decisions. Now, how in the world do you stop yourself? I want to give some tips and some coping mechanisms for people out there, because guess what? I'm human too. Have I done some of these things? Absolutely. You know, I actually feel like, you know, I'm a financial advisor. I have coached thousands of people over my career, but I've always asked for personal help, because what I'm talking about today is I'm as human as you guys are. I can make bad financial decisions, even though I'm very knowledgeable about what to do, because I have the same component of fear, greed, envy. What are my peers doing? You know, looking at social media and going, oh, you know, and it's so you almost need somebody, and that's why people hire us, or a friend or somebody that you can bounce things off of, because you need some kind of coping mechanism to say, hey, beware of your biases. Number one, do you know what they are? Most people do. And if you know what they are, you might want to write them down. When you think about money, what is it that you do that you might just instantly do something and you have that regret? One of the things that I've learned, and Susie, we actually had Doug Lenick as a guest several times on this show over the decades, because he has a firm that's called Think to Perform. He's the CEO and co-owner. But what he taught me, and I say this is two decades ago, and taught me not only for myself, but for my clients. He taught me to play the freeze game. And the freeze game is, if you have high anxiety, you've got feelings of fear of missing out, greed and envy, stop. Just stop and pay attention to, what are you thinking? What are you feeling and why are you doing this? Sometimes we just don't stop. And sometimes people say, just breathe. You know, it's the same kind of thing where just freeze. Think about it, you know, before you would take action. Any examples that you have, Susie, of something like that?
It's interesting because it's, again, maybe silly, but two nights ago I was out with a friend in Mankato at a restaurant. And I was thinking I would love a steak, and the steak was $52, and a hamburger was $15. That's a good example for me. And I decided to get the steak because I deserve it. But I mean, I do think it's a mental thing, though. I think to your point, there's an I deserve message in my head that gets me into trouble. That,
yeah,
I deserve.
Yeah, and I would throw in right there budgeting.
Totally.
You know, so if you had some money set aside for, and this is where clarity brings energy, meaning if you have a budget and you know what's in that component for, you know, eating out and miscellaneous expenses, how much greater do you feel when you're sitting there making that decision? Oh, I've already planned for this.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to throw this on my credit card and hope that I have the money at the end of the month.
Right.
You know, and what I've seen clients do is they treat their entire family to a dinner or a day out or something, and then they come back, or even vacation, and they come back to me and say, okay, that costs $15,000. Where should I get that money? Well, they've already done it. It wasn't like it was in their plan. And sometimes you just have to block out time to create that budget, review that budget. Do not deny yourself small pleasures like Susie did. Absolutely. But reward yourself by sticking to the budget. You might have to give up something else, Susie, to feel good about yourself about doing that.
That's good advice.
The other thing I want to quickly mention is just when it comes to the stock market, and the stock market right now is high. Now, I know we've had a couple tough weeks here, but generally it's high, right? And so forever in my career, I have told my clients, do not call me when the markets are up and down. Now, that sounds crazy, right? I'm the financial advisor. I would tell them, I have all that information. And by the way, I have a TV in my office, you know, and I can see what the markets are doing. But I always remind them, and this is why it's best to have a plan, is remember the exercise that we walk through whereby we discuss several scenarios. You know, how much safe money do you need to live the life you want to lead? And, you know, 3 to 5 years, we got to keep that money in the safe bucket. So as long as we did that, you don't have to call me when the markets are up and down, you know, unless there was some life-changing event that you really believe I need to know about. And that actually helps people, because I'm talking about the topic today, right? We're emotional about our money. We're emotional about the kind of the picture that's running in your head of your future life. And of course we have a fear. If we run out of money, we've got this vision of what we want to do for ourselves and our children and our grandchildren. And so having that financial plan is important. Now, people still call me, right? So then I just have to say, okay, remember, on the last review, we have this many years of safe money. And I know you're talking about the stock market right now because it's higher. And it was at an all-time high. And your emotions are going to override, you know, the facts that I gave you last time. But every single time, Susie, when I have that conversation with the client, they hang up and they go, you know, before they hang up, they say, thank you. I just needed to hear that again. And we're in that time frame right now. So we thought that this topic would be a really good topic to bring up, because you can utilize, you know, the freeze game. Should I call Peg Webb? Should I call the web team? Should I ask them questions? Maybe you do a little bit of homework before you call. Maybe you have some overconfidence now about buying into the market, which you shouldn't. Maybe you have greed because you see that a couple stocks are up. You want to just go buy those individually and start to take more risk on your portfolio. This whole conversation is about, you know, take time before you react and make a bad decision. Anything to add to that, Susie?
Yeah, I just think it's so valuable. And you have other tips as well that we're going to talk about, I think, to simplify or organize. I think that's a challenge for me. You mentioned, you know, using just one credit card. And a lot of people do have more than one credit card, and it gets messy. And when it gets messy financially in terms of that debt, even if it's just $1,000 here or $3,000 there or what have you, it can get kind of, I just go back to the word messy. And to take that step to try to organize yourself, would you say, in terms of helping people?
Yes. There's a lot of tips that we have to help clients, you know, manage their money stress and give them actual thing, you know, things on a list to do that. Now, it gets a little bit dicey when it's not just one person, right? It's a couple.
Sure.
And they actually have independent money biases. And so our job, too, is to try to coordinate those two biases, walk through. That's how you create the budget. And it's a process.
Yeah.
But then when you're on the backside of the process, it really and truly does help people know, you know, day to day what they should do, what they shouldn't do. Mm. And I welcome people to try that freeze game, because it does slow you down.
Right.
And it also allows you the time then to work with your significant other in making those big decisions.
All right. Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, Peg, so we'll take our break here at the bottom of the hour. But we are starting to get questions in from our listeners, and we invite you to be part of the show as well here at 651-461-9226. Jump on. Maybe you have a question about how you're in a situation and you need some advice, or maybe something has worked for you and you want to share it. 651-461-9226. We're back after this. Welcome back to the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, reminding you, if you have a question for the folks at Wealth Enhancement, you can call this number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But right now, we'd love to have you be part of the show for the next half an hour, 651-461-9226. Here once again, Senior Financial Advisor and Senior Vice President Peg Webb. Peg, welcome back. We're talking about your money and making sense of it and keeping track of it and not being emotional about it, all those things.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually called the show, thanks, Susie. We called the show Train Your Brain to Make Better Money Decisions. And many of the listeners out there probably know what I'm talking about, but just generally we talked about why is it so difficult to overcome financial trouble. And one of the reasons is because we're not wired to make these big money decisions. We usually just jump to conclusions and try to either fight or flee in making that decision. And part of that is not our fault, right? Because it's our ancient ancestors who kind of developed us long ago. And we still have a component of that in us. So as financial advisors, we take that into consideration, and I was kind of kidding, but I'm not kidding. I wish I had a psychology degree of financial planning, because when you have to integrate, you know, getting a client to take action, talking about risk and the tolerance level of risk that you have, then we throw in what's important to you, right? Your values, your goals. Then there's these financial instincts. I call it behavioral finance, because all of us have biases based on even our parents and what's happened to us in our lives before and today. And so we have to walk through that. And then there's these money beliefs. There's money beliefs that are just so ingrained in people that it's hard to get them to alter those beliefs. You know, because for decades of time, that's what their parents did and their grandparents did and their neighbors did. And then lastly, just money conflict in general. I mean, if I had a choice, I would rather have some other kind of system than money, right? Because it's just such a component of people's lives, good and bad. So we have to work with couples and families and talk about all these things to get to that financial plan that we build. And once again, when you have a plan, you actually work the plan and you look back at the plan. And especially if there's more than one of you, it's very good to have some kind of a guide. This all helps, you know, the emotional decisions that you have to make around money. So that's what we talked about today, Susie.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit before we took the break about some practical tips. So if you're listening today and you have a situation that you're struggling with, we invite you to be a part of the show at 651-461-9226. A texter did ask the question about the 4% rule for how long your IRA funds will last. Is that still a valid percentage? And can you address that as well today, this morning?
Yeah, I'll do that. What a great question. That's been around for a while. And what the texter is asking is, I've saved a certain amount of money outside of my pension or the Social Security that I'm going to get, and I've invested, let's say, $1 million. And out there, and it's been around for a long time, that a safe percentage to take off this $1 million would be 4%. Now, what they did to come up with that 4% is they simply took 50% of the stock market and 50% in fixed income like bonds and cash. And to take 4% out is taking a withdrawal. But that does not mean that they said that's all you're going to earn over 30 years of time, because that's the other component you need to know. They use 30 years of time, $1 million, and 4% withdrawals. The reason you can't just take out 4% and just drain the $1 million is because you're going to live 30 years. Mm. So then they add a component of inflation, you know, 2% inflation, 3% inflation, so that you're really earning 6% out of your money over 30 years, but you're pulling out 4%. Now, Wealth Enhancement Group uses that guide, but we created a template that not only shows 4, but it shows all different percentages based on what risk are you willing to take on the portfolio. So let me give you an example. If somebody's willing to be 70% of the stock market and 30% in fixed income, that percentage is probably going to be okay to be higher because ultimately, not that we can repeat the past, but in the past, that portfolio has earned more than a 50-50 portfolio over time. Now, the opposite is true if people want to be more conservative than that and say they only want to be 40% of the stock market, 60% in safer, then they're going to have a withdrawal rate, you know, that's less than that. Now, in today's world, a Wealth Enhancement Group included, we have financial planning software that will do this for us.
Oh.
And then it shows a graph of how many years we plug in the numbers, how many years, you know, will your money last? That kind of leads me into, we actually just developed, and I mean, this is really recent, an interactive retirement income calculator.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, Wealth Enhancement Group just put this on our website, wealthenhancement.com. But if you want to get to it, you actually need to type in resources.wealthenhancement.com/, this is long, interactive retirement calculator. And so if you go to wealthenhancement.com, and you could go under insight, and under insights, you'll see that there's let's see here, insights, resources.
Yeah.
If you go under resources, then you'll be able to find it. If you look on retirement income planning on the left, click that.
Okay.
The reason I say this is because now we have an interactive, you put in your current age, you put in your expected retirement age, your annual expenses, current retirement savings, what risk do you want to take or what risk are you at? And then we'll come back to you and say, well, this is what we believe you're willing to, you're able to spend. And each factor is kind of the slide control. I thought it was really great. So if people are interested, go to wealthenhancement.com and then at the top hit insights and then hit resources and you'll find it.
Peg, is that available to anyone or do you have to be a client of Wealth Enhancement?
It's open to anyone.
Oh, that's
nice. You don't have to log in to be able to access this.
That's great. Again, it's resources.wealthenhancement.com/interactive-retirement-calculator. That's the entire thing to type in your URL to get to. The person following up about the 4% rule wondered about someone, and again, this is a little bit just for them, but if it's not a million but more like 400,000, is it common to put higher than out of the retirement months? But you kind of mentioned that and how to manage that 4% number depending on what your risk level is.
Yeah, it also depends, Susie, on outside resources. So I mentioned if you have a pension, if you have Social Security, this is the liquid money that you would have saved, and how can that play in those other fixed resources that you have?
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes down to spending. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about 400,000 versus a million in the way you live, I mean, I have people that only need 20,000 a year to live, and I've got people that need 750,000 a year to live.
Wow.
So, you know,
I want to meet them. I want to meet them.
It's everywhere in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, part of that 750,000 is just the difference in stages of life, too.
Mm-hmm.
See how our job is very complex?
Yes, because
it's not a young person. Part of that 750,000 is gifting to those children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going out of their estate. And, you know, it's something that I need to solve for those clients. Where are we going to get the money? Is that a good number? Because I got to leave enough money for them to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got healthcare costs that I have to be very cognitive of, if that's a possibility, because that's probably the number one thing that can derail a financial plan is no health the cost of health.
I have a question for you, Peg, actually. This is a question that says, when you told us at the beginning of this show, those statistics, that 74% of U.S. adults have financial regret, that the most common is not saving enough. Do you think about long-term in the U.S. with people aging and not having saved enough and being in debt, what that might mean for the country and the overall financial health of the country? Does that kind of ever cross your mind, or are you really more thinking of an individual? Because I think we saw, my mom and I were out shopping yesterday, and we saw a couple of different places we went had, I'll just say, elderly employees. And my mom's like, I wonder why he's working here. I'm like, well, maybe he didn't save enough, or maybe, you know, what have you. But I'm just curious about that, because I think that is a problem, and defaulting on student debt and a lot of other issues that are facing the country. And maybe you're not prepared to answer, but I just wanted to ask.
No. that this is something we do every day, right?
Yeah,
we get these questions from individual people. And the healthcare cost crisis, I would say, has been in our head for two decades already.
Mm-hmm.
Just the cost of healthcare, and it's not getting better. We're starting to see just a little relief in, you know, some of the inflationary numbers where people are getting higher Social Security. They might be getting a bump on their pension. You know, they're obviously getting a bump on their portfolios because interest rates are still high and the stock market's doing well. But it is a fear, right? It's a fear of all of us, and especially for women. We had a show a couple weeks ago where it was about women and the fact that we still live longer.
Mm-hmm.
And women, you know, who are needing, you know, healthcare now didn't work all the years that maybe I did, or the younger women work. So they have a disadvantage there. And then if one of the couple dies, then the Social Security disappears, right? You get to go up to the higher Social Security. But it is a health care cost crisis.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. And we talk often about long-term care insurance on this show, which is a choice. And we just walk through the pros and cons of having it. You know, do you need it? Can you afford it?
Mm.
And then also we talk about, you know, the cost of it. And what I can tell you is in our practices at Wealth Enhancement Group, it's not unheard of right now for us to be sending $10,000, $12,000 a month to these facilities like a nursing home or an assisted living for some of our clients. So we're living it, breathing it right now, you know, with paying for it. So it has to be a part of that financial plan, and it has to be something that people are thinking about, not today when you're 75, but when you're younger.
651-461-9226. That is the question. That is the text number or a call number. If you're listening and you're in this situation, 651-461-9226. Because for people that don't know, wealth enhancement will help someone, whether your net income is or your value, your assets are, you know, $500,000, $500,000, $200,000, or $750,000. Because I think sometimes we talk about this and think, oh, well, why should I listen? I don't make that much money. But it's valuable information that will help you in the long run, even if it's just making sure you pay your credit cards, right? I mean, it's pretty simple stuff to get you there in the beginning.
Yeah, one of the things that we I definitely hype on is budget. And it's not easy because there's so many things that are requiring some of your dollars today, but still a good idea to write everything down. And one of the things that my husband and I did in our early years, because it says carry enough cash only to buy what you need. Well, that's way, that sounds like we're oldie fogies right here at Wealth Enhancer Group saying carry cash of what you need, you know, with the credit cards and debit cards and all these things, that's for convenience. But what my husband and I did when we were young, because it was hard, we, you know, you're just trying to have kids and have enough money for all the things that you need. We would put the dollars in an envelope and we would share that envelope and say, okay, by the time that was our discretionary money, by the time it was gone, we didn't go to a credit card to go spend, you know, other money. So there's methods out there that you can use. Now, today, even more so, like on the websites and the apps, you know, you can certainly do a budget there, but you can also, you know, monitor, you know, your net savings and your spending. And one of the companies that I use is Quicken. And Quicken, you can have all the detail in front of you and get that organized where you're not going to make big missteps because you don't have the information. I think it's easy to live in La La Land and just spend your money then at the end of the month and go, okay, wait a minute. We don't have the money for the broken, you know, the broken dishwasher right now or something.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of planning and going out and getting help if you don't have help. Now, help is not free, but I always argue that the younger people, they are spending sometimes north of $300 a month for TV. And, you know, that, to me, that's crazy. And so you could take a lot of that money and put it away for long term. And right. So I think the conveniences of today, the exciting technology things that we have today are going to derail some people in thinking that that's okay to spend that much just for television.
Or their phone. Or their phone. I think that's another
one. Well, I haven't even asked. Yeah, or their phone because they all want the brand new one.
All the time.
When the new one comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, and that is a lot of money. Exactly right. I like your tips. I really do because they're good for people to hear if you're listening and you're thinking about your money because I do think out of sight, out of mind, it's just easier to not pay attention. I am kind of a la-la land person. And I'm reading one of the tips, save all your receipts so that you can actually see what you're spending. I think that's, I mean, I don't do that enough. Let's put it that way. And I, it's,
yeah. Well, one of the things that we do is, you know, people don't necessarily bring in all their receipts to Wealth Enhancement Group. I would say, you know, I would say a lot of the people that come to see us, they do have some organization already. I would say there's so many people out there that maybe don't even contact a Wealth Enhancement Group because they're embarrassed.
That's right.
And, you know, they're embarrassed
to
what they've done. And but they don't really know how to compare to people unless you talk to someone like us.
Right.
And we're proud of our company because of our team-based approach and our roundtable, and we've got so many, you know, specialists in all these different areas. But that's really what people need, right? You need financial planning. You need the investment side. You need the, you know, retirement income planning. You need your will. You need your, there's so many things that people need. And I can't even imagine trying to do it yourself.
Right.
If you come to Wealth Enhancer Group, it's not free, right? You get a free consultation, but then they would tell you, okay, if you would like us to help you, this is what it would cost.
Right. And it was a percentage of something. I know so the point is, though, back to the paying attention to this and that La La Land will get you nowhere, to just get a handle on what you have and make a budget. I mean, if you take anything away from this today, it's that make a budget and be aware of your money.
And freeze. I love this.
That's a good one.
You know, and I get heightened and I'm like, oh, you know, but you just say, okay, freeze.
Yeah.
Let me think about this. That's kind of like sleeping on it, right?
Yep.
People make better decisions when they just stop, slow down, take in all the information that's needed to make that good calculated decision. And then once again, when it's more than one person, you've got to get the other person involved because you probably have different insights and can add to the decision making. It's better than to have the two than one.
Yeah, delaying that instantaneous gratification. I just think that can really, like you said, freeze, go a very long way. Well, Peg, as we wrap up, are there any final thoughts in this last minute before we let you go?
Well, the only thing I would say is if you would like to get more organized, we recently launched this interactive retirement income calculator, and you actually can go. It's easy enough. Wealthenhancement.com. Go to the headline on top, Insights, and then there's the word resources. On the left-hand side, you're going to see retirement income planning. Just click on that, and you'll be able to access that.
Well, I'm going to do that today. I think we all need to take 5 minutes and get a handle on it because we don't want to be suffering and struggling in later years. And that's essentially where you'd find yourself. Peg, thank you so much for your time today. It was awesome stuff as usual. All right. Again, reminding you the number to call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 8886-ADVICE. If you didn't get a question answered, it's your money at wealthenhancement.com. That's your money at wealthenhancement.com. Make it a great week.